give every family a copy of that book. Not that you have to copy what they do, but just see what other people have done. Out in Denver, Denver's in the news a lot. A lot of issues have occurred over the last 15 years in the Denver area, and they need the Lord. Well, a lot of things here in South Florida as well. So we're going to have that opportunity at the end of the service to literally walk forward. Those in the back will walk to the back. Those here will walk forward to me and a couple of other people. Elizabeth will be here. Those over there can either walk or we'll come to you. If you can't move, some of you seniors will come to you. If you're willing to do it, we'll give you a book. You give us the card, and we'll begin to pray all throughout South Florida. Is that a good idea? I think it's going to be a great opportunity for all of us. Now, over the next 5 Sundays, 4 weeks, we're going to be studying in the book of Luke, chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, Luke 15, it's 3 very familiar stories. It's the story that Jesus told of 3 parables. A lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. You know the story, you've heard it, but Elizabeth, would you read it for us?
Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses 1 coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And he said, there was a man who had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'"
And thank you, Elizabeth. It's an incredible story of 4 different incidences, of which Elizabeth read 3. She read about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and one of the sons, the prodigal son. There was a second son who was the elder son, and we're going to talk about him in about 2 weeks, but he is a part of this story. What's interesting is, go to chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 2, and you see here something very critical and something we're talking about even this morning. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Christ." And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." We need to understand that Jesus was taking his message, the message not just to those who had already received it or understood it or had a part of it, kind of the religious community. Jesus was interested in taking the message outside of the religious community. And these parables are about taking the story, taking the gospel outside of the religious community. Now, you hear me say the word gospel all the time. Do you really know what that is? Sometimes I use words and people don't even know what the word means. So the word gospel, which is not in the Bible, it's in the Bible, but the word, it's a word that comes from an old word. I won't go into details, but it means good news. The Bible is good news. It's the gospel. And the gospel can be as simple as Jesus is Lord, or as detailed as the theologies of the whole 1,300 pages. You can go through the whole book. It's the gospel. Or it's very simply just saying Jesus is Lord and I believe in him. That's as simple as it is. But inherent in the gospel is the fact that you share your belief. It is the gospel is not enough in just understanding the belief, but in sharing the belief. It's like a two-edged sword. You believe it, you share it. It's not like you believe it and don't share it, because if you believe it and don't share it, then you're hoarding it, and that's not what the gospel is. The gospel, if it is anything, is believing that Jesus is Lord and then sharing it. Jesus did this. The disciples did this. This parable does this. It takes us beyond just belief. Now, I don't say just belief as if that's nothing, but I say that it's not the only thing. If you really are a believer in Jesus Christ, inherent is in it is taking it and sharing it with someone else. So it's interesting, if you believe it and have never shared it, then you're only believing half of the gospel. And that's the half that it's about you. But you need to understand that God has chosen to use us to share the gospel with other people. Now let's look. We have some grumblers there. The religious people were a little upset, the Pharisees and scribes, because Jesus was not staying in the religious community to talk about religion. He chose to move out. And they were upset about this. In fact, they were grumbling about it. How many times do we kind of grumble too when we got to go, "Oh, you mean I got to do this outside of the church? I got to move outside the church? Why can't we just talk about it inside the church?" Well, Jesus moved out. Now, he was a rabbi, he was a teacher, he was a master, he was incredible, and there were times when he did teach at the temple. There were times when he did teach at the synagogue. There are times when he did it among the religious people, but you find he also went out beyond the religious people. Now, he tells a parable. It has three parts. Now, a parable is a story. It's not true. It's a fable that he says that gives truth out of it, correct? So we got to understand that these are stories that he tells, just a way of sharing a story, and he tells these stories. So I want to give you four groups of people or individuals that are shared about in this story today. First of all is the lost sheep. The lost sheep. And why was the sheep lost? Now, sheep is plural and singular. So in this case, one of the sheep moves off. And the parable is this. There's 100 sheep, and a shepherd has the 100 sheep. And what does sheep do? I'm not a shepherd. I didn't grow up on a farm. So everything I've learned about sheep, I've learned from someone else. Some of you may have grown up on a farm. I did not. So I'm telling you this kind of in the second person, not the first person. But the reality is this, I've seen enough sheep and I've seen enough movies about sheep, is that the sheep are looking down, and they're looking down for one of two things, either grass or quiet waters, grass or water. And they're looking, and what happens is, in this little parable, is one of the sheep is eating away, and they're just looking down and eating, and maybe the grass is worn out here, so he goes or she goes and eating here, and then goes and eating here, and goes and eating here, and goes and eating here, and all of a sudden they're done eating, and sheep eat an awful lot all the time, kind of looks up and realize they're lost. Gone, and nowhere around. Sheep is short-sighted. Maybe they don't even look up. But the shepherd looks, and discovers that the sheep is lost. Now, in this story, every one of us is like this sheep. We all are included in the first story. The Old Testament in Isaiah, it says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. What does turn to our own way mean? In the story of a sheep, it's just turning short-sightedly, looking to keep after me. I am interested in me. I am a sheep. All I care about is me and mine. I care about the grass. I care about the quiet waters. They wouldn't go by rough waters or a rapids. They want quiet waters. That's all I care about. And sheep, that's all they care about. Very short-sighted. If you are a sheep, and all of us have been sheep, if you are a sheep, you are the type of person who just cares about yourself. Oh, you'll throw your family in there, your kids, your senior parents, maybe some grandchildren. You'll kind of bring them into the fold, and then we'll just take care of our own. You know what? That's kind of the American way. I'll take care of mine, you take care of yours. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying you've got to lift your head up and realize there's a world out there, but we are sheep. And it takes a shepherd. Next week or 2 weeks from now, we'll talk about the shepherd. But just the first one is the first type of lostness that we see here is that a sheep has gone astray. And I tell you what, all of us have been there one time or another, have we not? Until the Lord snatched us back. Now, the second one, I want to just kind of look at this one because this is a harder one. There were a lady who had 10 coins. Now, coin's kind of an inanimate object, right? It was a drachma. Drachma was equivalent to a denarius, which was equivalent to one day's wage, that coin. Just think of it as a day's wage. And she lost it. She lost it. Didn't know where it was. What is it? The lost coin was caused by the carelessness of others. The carelessness of others. In this case, in the parable, it was a woman. Could have been a man, could have been a child, could have been an adult. He's just giving a parable, but it's the carelessness of someone else. There are people in this world who are lost because of the carelessness of someone else. Oh, they're lost because of their short-sightedness, so you can't blame someone else. But what's interesting is those of you who are my age, kind of grew up in the 70s and 80s, and really, if you like music, I think one of the greatest voices of the last half of the 20th century was Whitney Houston. Now, you may not like her style. I did. I think that woman could sing. Remember what happened to her? Died, I would say prematurely, died, drugs, other things, right? Remember this? And all of us blame her husband, Bobby Brown, right? Bobby Brown introduced her to drugs, to her husband. That's not true. Yes, he was into drugs and kind of made it worse. But just a little while ago, long after she died, her elder brother confessed, Michael Houston confessed, that he introduced her to drugs when she was a child. And he said that I got to live with the demon that I led this woman astray. Now, that's a physical example of a spiritual reality. And that woman could never get past that. Then what does she marry? Then she marries Bobby Brown, who even makes it worse. And all of a sudden, what I think is one of the greatest voices from one of the greatest singing families, her mother, her aunt was Dionne Warwick, for goodness sake. She could sing as well. And you just start thinking of all the people who could sing in that family, destroyed because of the carelessness. Now, she was responsible. I don't say she wasn't responsible, but she was carelessly dealt with. And there are people in this world that have been carelessly dealt with that you and I have an opportunity to go out and find. Now, if we're only interested in me and mine, I'm not going to go out and look for a lost coin, am I? But God has called us to look beyond ourselves and realize there are lost coins out there. There are lost people out there for whatever reason, of their own doing or of someone else's doing, but they're lost. I have a friend who I was in a Bible study with. His name is Corwin Anthony. Corwin Anthony was a football player for UCLA. In fact, I think his claim to fame was he used to receive passes from Troy Aikman. Those of you who are big in the NFL, he caught the last pass, the Troy Aikman, last touchdown Troy Aikman ever threw for UCLA back years ago. Corwin Anthony was the chaplain of the Miami Dolphins. He now works with Athletes in Action and is involved with a lot of things there. Great Christian guy. His wife, Kim Anthony, grew up in Richmond, Virginia. She was grew up in the, you know, the other side of the tracks, let's call it, in Richmond, Virginia. When she was 6 years old, her father brought her into his drug parties and had her rolling the joints at 6 years old and a part of delivering and like hostess of the drug parties. This is Kim Anthony. Kim Anthony is the first African American to get a full ride scholarship to UCLA as a gymnast. Nowadays, African Americans are in gymnastics. We have Gabby Douglas, this girl that just won in the internationals in Antwerp this week. What's her name? Simone Biles, I think, African American. But 20 years ago, there weren't a lot of African Americans in gymnastics. It's interesting, she was a lost coin as a young girl. In 1976, she saw the Olympics on TV. They had the TV on, and she saw Nadia Comaneci. And she told her mother, she said, I can do those flips like her. Now, if you remember Nadia Comaneci, she was the one that was the vault, you know, could do those flips on the vault years ago. She told her mother, mother was wise enough, had a little there. She said, let's take her to the YMCA. So she took her to the YMCA. She couldn't pay the fees to get her in gymnastics class. So her mother swept the floors while her daughter was in gymnastics class, and that's how she paid for the fees while she was waiting for her daughter. She swept the floors in Richmond, Virginia, every afternoon and evening. Is that amazing? She makes a full ride scholarship to UCLA. She gets there freshman year. She wins nationals. I forget which was her specialty, but she wins nationals. It might have been vault. I'm not sure. She wins nationals. She comes back to Richmond as a sophomore for the summer. She's at Wendy's, going to have a burger with some of her girlfriends. And a guy comes up with a gun to her head, says, give me all your money or I'll shoot you. And it was at that point in time she realized she was a lost coin. She realized there had to be more to life than winning these medals and jumping off of these bars. But she didn't know what it was. She survived, gave him the money. She survived the incident, obviously, went back to UCLA. Little did she know, but her newfound boyfriend, Corwin Anthony, was being reached by a chaplain on the football team. He came to Christ that summer in summer camp, football camp, from the chaplain. She comes back. The chaplain, Corwin didn't know how to do it. All Corwin knew how to do was take her to the chaplain. And the chaplain led her to Christ. The lost coin was found. See the picture? Kim has an incredible testimony of God's grace and a wonderful woman. And Corwin's a wonderful man. But they were just two lost coins. Very talented, had great ability, good value. Coins got great value, right? But it was sitting under somebody's couch. And God pulled it out. How many lost coins are there in this world that you and I have an opportunity to reach into their lives? Next, and again, we're going to talk about what our responsibility is, but to understand there's this sense of lostness out there. Part of it is the short-sightedness. Part of it is that people just don't have a clue. They're out doing their thing, and they're just lost and not knowing they're lost, and maybe because of the carelessness of someone else. Number three, and we go to this last one, the one that we're more familiar with, which is the parable of the prodigal son. And I'm going to spend more time in the coming weeks, but there's two sons here. The lost son, or the prodigal, I'll just use the word lost because we're talking about lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. The lost son was lost because of the willful rejection of the father. Some people are lost because they're just short-sighted and they're just not looking and don't want any part of anything except what they need. Some people are lost through the carelessness of others. And there are people who know the way and choose not to go the way. Do you know somebody like that? It's a willful rejection of the father. When you read this parable, you have to read it in terms of the first century. We read it today and it doesn't mean much. because people move around so much, right? You probably live here and your folks may live somewhere else, or you live here and your kids live somewhere else. Mobility is huge nowadays. So you could be in Dallas, they could be in Houston, we could be in Boca, someone else could be in LA, your whole family's just spread everywhere. But back then, that did not happen. In fact, kind of like what's that movie, My Greek Fat Wedding or whatever, that movie, you remember, you moved next door? That was more the norm, is that you moved next door. So you had mom and dad, grandpa and grandpa, children here, second family here, you know, and you had these little enclaves. That's why they're called clans, right? Have these clans. Even today in Haiti, you go to Haiti, you'll see the house, and then you go behind the house and you'll see another house, another hut, another house, four or five families, which we would call nuclear families, they would call an extended family, all live together. So the son says, I want to go to a foreign country, which basically meant he wanted his dad's inheritance ahead of time. Now, many of you may have gotten some inheritance ahead of time. You might have gotten some college money to go to college from your family. You might have got some money to help buy that first car. You might have gotten some money to help buy that first condo, something from your family. But back then, you got nothing until dad died. And when dad died, you got money. Now, what's interesting is he wasn't even the eldest son. He was the second son. He would have even gotten less than the eldest son. And he's out there saying, I want my inheritance. You know what he was saying? Dad, I want you dead. You got to read it as it was written. Dad, I want you dead. But you're not going to die, so I want the money now. And I want to live as if you were dead. That is the willful rejection of the father. There are people who are willfully rejecting God. They know of him, they know about him, they've been surrounded about him, and they are willfully rejecting him. We can call it what we want. We can say, oh no, they're good kids, they're good, you know, yeah, people, oh, they're good, but you got to understand, they're not. They're willfully rejecting, as if to say God is dead. Now, if I came to my father who's sitting in the back row there today, if I came to him and say, I wish you were dead so I could have the house, right? I wouldn't say that. Give me the house. Well, I wish you were dead so I could get the house. I wouldn't, you know, it's unbelievable to even have that conversation. So this guy is having that conversation with dad. And you know what dad does? He pulls out the money and gives it to him. Now, that is incredible. He gives it to him. Now, back then, most of their assets were mobile. They didn't have a lot of fixed assets. Their assets were mobile, like herds, clothing, gold, silver. So he somehow got together the money, and he handed the money to his son and allowed his son to go. That is an amazing thought. Bring that to the spiritual. God the Father allows the willful rejection of people. Now, the father could have not given him the money. If he had not given him the money, the son would have stayed and just been there. He gave him the money, let him go. Now, what's interesting is, and we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, but you got to go to verse 17. And here's the important thing. With the lost sheep, the shepherd came and got the sheep, right? I mean, there's theology behind that. There's incredible things. We talked about it a month ago. God chose us. God calls us. God redeems us. Brings us back home, right? There it is. With the lost coin, again, the woman finds the coin wherever, under the something, and finds it, right? And brings it back. But in this case, very different. The man didn't go anywhere, did he? The father did not go. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. But verse 17 says, but when the son came to his senses, right here, when the son woke up, that's very different, isn't it? There is a place in time for you and me to wake up and realize that we need to get back to God. There may be someone in this room today who is here and knows the Father, maybe knows of the Father, knows of God, maybe even knows God, that is willfully walking away. And let me tell you, come to your senses. Come to your senses. Now, what's interesting is, and we're going to talk about the Father and the woman and the shepherd another day, but the Father did not go after the Son physically. He did pursue him in one way, and we'll talk about that another time, but he did not go to the foreign country, grab him out of the foreign country, and bring him back, did he? He was waiting for the Son to come to his senses. When you pray for someone who is willfully rejecting, let me encourage you to do this. Pray that they come to their senses. Can I give you the Old Testament word? They have a hard heart. Pray that God softens their heart so that they can hear God calling them, that they actually come to their senses. Instead of the concept of, okay, you know, sometimes I've had people tell me their son or daughter's in jail. I got to bail them out before nighttime because I got to keep them. I'm thinking, maybe he needs to spend the night in jail. You know, I mean, maybe he needs to come to his senses. So many people call me up and ask me to chase people. I have been asked to chase people and chase people and chase people. And let me tell you, I used to chase people. I would chase people. And I'm not afraid to chase people. I'm not afraid to look for the coin. I'm not afraid to look for the sheep. But when someone is in willful disobedience, you know what? They got to interact with God directly. I don't know how that works. It's a little scary. And I'll go chase somebody out of some wherever they shouldn't be and bring them out. But you know what? If they are being done because I'm a big guy and I can do it, they're just going to go back another week or two later, right? So they have to come to their senses. So our prayer, and you moms and dads, and you grandmas and grandpas, and you brothers and sisters, and you children that are praying for your neighbors, your friends, your family members, pray that God softens their hearts so they come to their senses. And then the fourth one is this. And this guy, we're going to spend a whole week on this guy because he gets ignored. That's the elder brother. The elder brother, and we didn't read it because it was a long passage, and I just didn't want to keep reading and reading. We'll read about him, but there's another brother involved, and he is really a part of the religious lost. He stayed home, for goodness sakes. You would say he's the good guy. He stayed home, but he stayed home. He was there, and in terms of what we're talking about, he was religious. We'll talk about that again, but he was still lost. You could be away from the Father and lost. You could be near the Father and lost. You could be near the Father and not. And how is that so? Go back to verse 1. This is a direct statement. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, Christ, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled. I believe in this case, the Pharisees and scribes were the religious lost. Oh, they were religious. They had all the things. They did it all right, all the pageantry of religion around them. But they didn't have a relationship with the Father. They had everything else. And, you know, they were good people. Just, you know, say, wow, they're good people. But they did not have a relationship with the Father. Have you ever had a chronic health problem? I used to have a bad back. I still do, but it's somehow doing a lot better. And I know why. But my lower back, because when you're tall and big like me, when you're young, everybody calls you up and says, oh, I have a piano I need to move to the second floor. I have a credenza that was built 30 years ago when it was real wood, you know, instead of these cardboard things with veneer on them, and it needs to go up to the third floor. And I have the washing machine, and our utility room is anybody like this? Or I was the schlepper my whole life. I remember when they recarpeted this church years ago. You know how heavy carpet is when you roll it? And guys like me are schlepping it out for a slice of pizza. I mean, it's like, oh, we'll give you pizza. So guys, when you're offered pizza, it's going right here. So, no, I'm serious. So, you know, you grow up with this thing that, you know, you're indestructible. Well, I'm 55. I can't do this, but I'm still doing it. only now I'm going up on 12-foot ladders, cutting hedges, and I'm pulling stuff down, and I'm climbing on roofs. I'm saying, and I have this chronic back problem, lower back problem. And you get used to it. And you live with it, and you think it's normal, right? We think it's normal. We think that our back should always, every time I get out of bed, again, not lately, I'll tell you why, but I had a back, it hurt. I had to learn how to get out of bed. So it wouldn't, I mean, I'm doing all these gyrations because I'm ignoring my back problem. It's like the religious lost. They're doing everything they can do except do what God's called them to do. It was interesting. I changed my whole habits about this summer. Changed the whole habits. Part of it is I have a son at home again, and that's helped a lot. Now he's doing all the hard lifting. So he's going to have the bad back in 20 years. But it's amazing. I wake up with not a back problem. My back feels pretty good. Every once in a while it goes out a little, but it is amazing. All of a sudden you move from chronic to feeling good, and you go, boy, that chronic was not. There are so many people in this world that think they have it, but it's a chronic problem. There's a chronic problem in their life, and they don't admit it. And I went for 25 years without admitting that I had a back problem. Oh, I might go like this. I might take an Advil. I might do something like that. But I wasn't correcting what was causing the problem. And then I would thought, oh, it'll go away. Well, the religious lost are doing all these great things. I was doing all this heavy lifting, great stuff. You wanted me to come? Nowadays, when anytime anybody asked me, I said, if you can't find somebody, I will pay a kid pizza to move your stuff. Why? Because I understand that I can't handle lifting in a way I used to because of the chronic problem I have. The religious lost have a chronic problem. They think they're doing it right. They're doing some heavy lifting. They're religious lifting, and they're missing the whole point. And they've got this aching in their life saying, I'm not really there, and they don't know why. The elder son, and we're going to spend a whole week on the elder son in a couple weeks. Read the story of the elder son. He thought he was doing it right. And it wasn't until the backache was exposed when the second son came home, and then it was truly exposed that he had a chronic problem the entire time. And he said, Dad, I did all the heavy lifting, right? I was here. And the reality was, he was physically there, but he was not a part of the family. He was lost, even though he was there. The fact that you are in this building only tells me you have some sense of religion. It does not tell me that you have a relationship to Jesus Christ. That is between you and he, and then you could say it, but walking in does not make you religious. Being around the Father does not make you have a relationship with the Father. And our goal is that each of us would have a personal, vibrant, and healthy relationship to God the Father. Amen? Not just a good religious experience. We can all have that. That's good. Oh, yeah, it's nice to be around nice people, right? It's nice to be around nice people, but that is not the answer. We want to be around people that have been found, that sheep that has been brought back to the fold, that coin that has been brought back like him and Corin Anthony. And the willful, disobedient person that comes back. Or the one who's sitting here that is resentful, religious, but still just as lost as the coin under the couch. Let's pause and just think for a moment about your own spiritual life. The beautiful thing that we're going to look at in 2 weeks when we come back to this. Next week, we're going to have a couple of our world lead missionaries here. It's going to be incredible. But in 2 weeks, we're going to come back to this and realize that God pursues us. God is the shepherd. God pursues us like that woman pursuing. And there is a sense where the Father pursued in a different way the willful, disobedient son, and certainly the elder brother. But do you really know the Father? Just bow your head for a moment. Do you know the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ? I started with saying the gospel is simple. Jesus is Lord. coming to Jesus Christ, coming to the God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, is an incredible opportunity. It's not about religion. It's not about even being in the fold. It's about having a relationship with the Father. We want each person here to have that relationship. So just pause and pray. Take a moment. We're asking you to pray for others, but right now, pray for yourself, just for this moment. Father, I pray for each person who is here in this room. I pray that you would allow us to understand our relationship to you, and if we don't have a relationship to you, that we would truly understand that. For those of us who do, Father, may we reach out to other people through prayer, through relationship, through invitation, through interacting with our fellow people here in South Florida. I pray, Father, and we thank you for allowing us to be a part of this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to shift gears a little bit here, and a couple things. One is we're going to let out a little early, because we've got cookies and coffee. We're going to do a little fellowship time after church, so we don't want you to leave early. But take out that card that I asked you to fill out. And if you would fill that out now, if you already filled out a card, if you were in one of those meetings already, fill it out again. Just say, put your name and say, I've already filled it out, because I want you to walk forward in solidarity. And what we're going to ask you to do, very simple, if you're in these two sections right here, we want you to come down this aisle, walk in. I will give you this book. It's got a bookmark, so it's got all the information on this, but in a bookmark form so you can know what to do. And what you're agreeing to do is very simple. It's just to pray for whomever you write on this or whatever once a week. I will pray for my neighborhood once a week. You decide how big your neighborhood is. If it's one floor of your condominium, if it's the whole condominium, if it's one street, if it's five streets, that's between you and God. That's your calling. But you would pray. If it's your sphere or center of influence, many of you work in other locations, your offices, whatever it may be, that you will pray. So if you're in these two sections, in a moment, you'll walk forward, come right here. There'll be a couple of people right here. If you're in this section, walk on the outside so that these people can all, so we're all kind of flowing the same direction. So if you're in this section, walk forward, then just walk back. If you're here, walk forward this way and walk back. If you're here, walk down the end and come back. Get it? So that way we're not hitting each other through in the aisles. If you're in the way back, just come right to the center there where those people are standing there. They'll give you a book, hand them the card. There'll be people up front here for those of you on that end and those of you on that end as well. And Ryan and the team are going to sing. We'll take 2 or 3 minutes to do this. It won't take long. Go back to your seats. We'll sing a song, close the service. If you want to know more about Jesus Christ, come up to me or one of the people in the back. If you want to know more about what we're doing and don't quite get it or want more things, we're giving one book, but we have plenty of bookmarks and we have a magnet as well for you to put on your refrigerator to remind you to pray each week. There's plenty of those out back with just one book. And if you got a book at one of these other times, don't take a book. Just come on down, drop the card, and then go back to your seat. So this should take about 5 minutes. We'll do it while they sing, come back, close in a song, and then we'll be dismissed for fellowship and good opportunity. One more thing. We have a baptism service next week. Next Sunday is a baptismal service down at the beach in the afternoon. If you've never been baptized, we'd love for you to be a part of that. Just see the people in the back afterwards. We also have a team going to Haiti this week. Pray for them. John Lucas, Dr. Tenney's, and Gene Wilson are going down to do some teaching down there as well. Remember them in prayer. Let's all stand, and I'm going to pray, and then we can come forward while they sing. Father, I thank you for each person in this room. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to pray for our community, to pray for our friends, to pray for our family. Father, we ask you to do whatever work you want to do. Father, we ask you to bring the sheep back, the coin back, the willful rejecting son back, the elder resentful son back. Father, we're just going to pray for our friends, our family, and our coworkers, Lord, and we're going to let you do the rest. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all.